You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
Broken records, the albums you wouldn't shut up about. Broken records, the music our guests can't live without.
Like Judy,
Barbara,
Liza,
Bette,
Betty,
Audra,
Bernadette.
We broadcast this podcast with hopes that someday we might get Patti LuPone.
Welcome to Ben Rimmelauer's Broken Records on Broadway World. I'm Ben Rimmelauer, and I'm here with my lovely co-host, Daniel Nolan.
Hey, y'all. Today's guest is the star of Bravo's Real Housewives of New York City, Countess Luann de Lesseps, OG in the house.
You don't know what that means, do you?
I figured it out. I'm smart.
Snap. Luann is also the highest paid cabaret star in Feinstein's 54 Below history with her record-breaking act, Countess and Friends, written and directed by yours truly.
Countess and Friends has moved on from cabaret rooms to large and often legendary theaters across the country, including the Chicago Theater in Chicago, the Warner in D.C., the Wiltern in L.A., and the Wilbur in Boston.
Luann has recorded four hit singles, Money Can't Buy You Class, Chic C'est La Vie, The Girl Code, and most recently, Feelin' Giovanni, co-written by yours truly.
Feelin' Giovanni. Maybe I should read those parts so you don't sound so braggy.
It's okay, I'll go on Grindr later and get humbled. Honestly, though, did I tell you I've been doing so much better on Grindr?
Tell me.
And it's partly due to you.
Oh, okay.
Because I started using your picture.
Oh, well, how come I don't get any hits when I use it?
You don't write the same words that I write.
I don't agree to, yeah.
It's a different picture.
I don't have the same offerings.
No, this is what happened, and I want our listeners to know, because I think it could be a story of inspiration for others.
Yes.
Okay, so, well, it all started with a conversation. Well, it all started a few years ago when I gained a bunch of weight for various reasons,
okay.
You know, And I started feeling really bad about myself,
okay.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Cue
and,
the music.
thank you. And, you know, it was a vicious cycle because you feel bad about the way you look. You don't feel sexy, so then you don't take as good care of yourself, and then you look worse, and then,
right.
You know. And I know, and I've known for so many years that it's, like, all about confidence. Like, I mean, I know that's true because, like, I've seen people, you know, who are
be
ugly,
confident.
Who are confident, and they get it, you know?
Yeah.
And I've seen good-looking people, or at least good-looking enough,
who should have confidence.
Can't get arrested because they don't have the confidence,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the oldest story in the book, but knowing that intellectually it's not the same thing as,
right.
You know, experiencing it. Anyway, so I was talking to a friend of mine, Jason Wise, brilliant choreographer,
mm-hmm.
and we were talking about different people for a certain project that we're working on together,
mm-hmm.
and I mentioned someone and who is sort of like, I guess you would say, like a bear.
Okay.
And for casting purposes, you
uh-huh,
know?
Yeah.
And Jason, who's this, you know, choreographer, he's a dancer, he's got a hot, tight little dancer's body, mm-hmm. so does his boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
They're both gorgeous, and, you know, and by the way, this bear in question is older than me, like, I would say, like, late 40s at least, and, you know, Jason's, like, I don't know, like, 29 or something, you
right,
know, like,
right.
Aren't you all 29? But, but anyway, I mentioned this bear as a casting possibility, and Jason's like, oh, yes, well, daddy, let me tell you, if he's in the cast, I hope he doesn't mind me saying this, I'm not naming the guy, he's like, if he's in the cast, he's my show boyfriend, you know, that's what you say,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
So, and I was like, I think you're thinking of the wrong guy, you know,
yeah,
because I had this very hierarchical sense of the world,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
in this world, like, Jason was of a higher status than I am, and I felt that this guy was at a lower status than I am, you know, and I really held so tightly to this
mm-hmm,
belief, you know,
mm-hmm.
and Jason,
and also that Jason, being a dancer choreographer, could be into guys with hot, tight dancer bodies.
That's all I would ever have expected,
right.
You know, especially because his boyfriend looks like
right.
that, you know, but so, but he was like, no, I'm thinking about the right fucking guy, you know, I think I said it in a rude way. I think he was like, you know, you asshole or whatever, because I was condescending, but
yeah.
We can cut that part, but,
we are body positive on the pod.
But he was like, I'm thinking of the right guy. And I was like, really? I just wouldn't have thought you'd be into him. He's like, are you kidding? Oh my God. So, That just like really sat with me. Mm-hmm. And then you and I were on the beach in Fire Island, and it was like the beginning of the summer, and it was like the one day there was sunshine, and we got like all this exposure.
Yeah.
And like I was like getting kind of burnt, and I asked you to take a picture of me so that I could see just
the color.
The color. And I wasn't like trying to look sexy, and if anything, I was like sticking my stomach out. It was just like a beached whale on my like
chair.
But it's
a very confident pose.
Well, exactly. I was in my body.
In your element, yeah.
In my element. sitting down. So therefore happy. And
shout out to Tommy Bahama Beach.
And you were like, oh, this is kind of a good picture. And I was like, oh no, it's horrendous. What are you talking about? I could never And you were like, you should make this your Grindr pic. And I was like, no way, I would never die. And I sent it to Jason. And he was like, oh my God, absolutely, you have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it, and my phone just started exploding.
Oh my.
And it really just, like, I realized that, like, I still was trying to aspire to what I thought I should look like, I guess, 10 years ago or something. I don't know, you know?
But also, do you want to aspire to the type of guy you're into?
But, like, that's not even, like, a real thing. Like the only type, like the different people like different things. That doesn't necessarily correlate with like what type they are. It's not like all twinks like bears, or like all Jews like. Well, no, all Jews do like Gentiles, but
I'm just saying, like, you are not. You don't think the bear thing would have been appealing. Because you're not into that type yourself. So you...
Right, yeah, exactly. So, like, But, you know, the funny thing is I'm even kind of into some of those guys. But it's like... But for some reason, I couldn't, like, accept myself like that.
And also, if you're into those type of guys, you think of yourself as not that type. You know what I'm saying? Like, you... Like, especially in the bear thing, it's like...
I think also, like, the whole idea of, like, being, like, a bear. Like, the whole, like, culture and, like, all that. Like,
it's
was
just
so,
not...
like, unappealing to me. Not, like, necessarily on any individual basis, but just, like, just cultures in general. Like, I mean,
totally,
I'm just not, like, the only culture I'm into is Judaism. That's J-U-D-Y,
J-U-D-Y.
Garland,
yeah.
You know.
But that's interesting because, you know, I have been to P-Town during Bear Week.
Oh, yes, do tell.
And it is a way different culture than, say, Carnival or whatever that one week that we went after. So, you know, and the vibe is way different. And so I definitely wouldn't put you in the category of bear culturally, you know?
Right. I mean, like, I certainly don't and would never wear
cargo shorts.
I have worn cargo shorts in my past, but like flannel, like plaid.
Yeah, no.
No. Maybe like a monochromatic plaid if it's like you know,
tartan.
Charcoal gray and black, you know, or navy and darker navy.
Yeah, yeah. You and your blues.
Shades of
blue.
Tell me about your experience at Bear Week. Like, did you find yourself, like, prized as, like, a piece of raw meat?
No,
or were you
because
as, like,
I was ignored, which
was
fine.
About?
I mean, honestly, to me, like, the thing that I love about Provincetown and Fire Island is, you know, the community and the shows and the beach and just kind of the vibe of it. But for me, I get so intimidated and so stressed out by, like, hookup culture and you know, that whole going out scene that it was actually kind of a relief for me. I mean, that sounds so douchey. Like, they stopped howling at the door. No, but it's like, there's always, you kind of have to like play that game a lot, and that's kind of stressful for me because I'm not good at it. So Bear Week was fabulous because I just was relaxing with my friends and having fun and shopping and drinking and, you know, Dina Martina.
Speaking of all that wonderful stuff in P-Town, coming up in a couple of months at the conclusion of our standard season of 15 episodes, we're doing a special Another Winter in a Summer Town mini-season, which will feature some of our favorite acts from Provincetown as well as Fire Island, including some wonderful drag queens, Pixie Aventura, and
legendary
Miss
Richfield,
1981, and Tony Award-winning Broadway star Faith Prince.
Absolutely.
And pop-belting Jekyll and Hyde Star Search legend Linda Etter.
Yes.
It's going to be a good time when the temperatures drop. Well, we could not be more excited to be sitting here with Countess Luann Delesseps, my friend.
My friend.
My favorite cabaret star. Everybody's found favorite cabaret star. Coast to coast.
Well, I've got the best director in town, so.
Go on.
I do.
Go on.
I'm a lucky girl.
Well, it's so great. I mean, I've been doing this podcast just for a few weeks, and the first thing everybody says is, when is Luann going to be on?
Right, right.
Well, you know, you just can't, you know, ruin the surprise at the very beginning.
That's right. Save me. Well, now they'll all get their dream come true. And I love that the album you wanted to talk about is Madonna's first album. I mean,
oh, my God. When I was in the 80s, you know, driving down the highway in my Cadillac, I had one of these huge Cadillacs, you know, the El Dorado.
Yes.
My mother had it, and she...
What year? Do you remember what year it was?
Oh, my gosh. I don't, but it had to be, like, 70-something.
Like a boat.
Yeah. It was like driving around my living room couch.
Oh, that's so fabulous.
You know, and sometimes I'd have my girlfriends drive so I could sit in the back and put my feet out the window and listen to Holiday, you know, and sing at the top of my lungs.
Borderline, that was
Borderline,
my jam.
Me too. Borderline, I mean, that was my go-to, like, happy music.
Such a good album for driving, too, especially with the windows down in the
summer.
Yeah,
exactly. It's so fun and, you know, everything I love. Happy.
Yeah, it really is such a feel. I mean, no song more than Holiday.
Right.
Instantly. That, I mean, was it The Girly Show or Blonde Ambition? One of her tours from the 90s where the opening number was Holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And just when that instrumental starts, the electricity goes.
Yeah.
It's a great gym playlist.
It's by far my fave. I mean, one of my favorite memories of all time.
So let me ask you, because I know doing the kind of stuff that we're doing, cabaret, where you sing, like, the standards and the more jazz kind of stuff was really, like, always your dream as a performer, singing at dinners and all that kind of thing.
I discovered Peggy Lee. Don't ask me.
But that makes sense. You know, that as a singer that you would gravitate toward that. Yeah. But when you would listen to, like, Madonna, because it's funny, long before you did, I mean, we started the cabaret show 2 years ago. And that's the beginning of your professional cabaret career, but you recorded your first club single 10 years ago?
2009.
No, 10 years ago.
Exactly.
So, I mean, you got in the Madonna business long before you got into the Liza Minnelli business.
That's true.
So what did, like, would you have, in those days when you were listening to Madonna, did you think, oh, this is something I ever want to do? Or were you just, was it just as a fan?
I was strictly a fan.
Yeah.
I was like, I could never be Madonna, which, you know, I still am not.
But I mean, but even Madonna, I mean, that's the thing about Madonna is that's so fabulous. It's like, it's about the star. It's about how she, mm-hmm. whether it's Madame X or Ray of Light or, you know, American Life, each of these things is a new reinvention. The, mm-hmm. She shapeshifts mm-hmm. to each of these, you know.
Right.
I mean.
To what's going on in the world. So.
Yeah.
That's why I'm trying to, with you, work together to reinvent our show.
Yes.
And keep it always different yes. and exciting and you know, so I'm excited about Mary F. Kill. Well, we're very excited
about Mary F. Kill. We can say it on the pod. Mary Fuck Kill.
Oh, Mary Fuck Kill. Okay, fine.
Tell our listeners.
It's just early in the morning, so I try not to curse until afternoon.
No fucking in the morning. tell our listeners how this, because this really is an idea that came
from the fans.
From the fans.
From the audience. And, you know, I always get inspiration, even for my music, from my surroundings.
Yeah.
Housewives, mm-hmm. you know, that's, you know, Money Can't Buy a Class. I will not tell you who that was inspired by, but well, I think you can guess.
It applies to many, though.
It applies to many, exactly. So I was inspired by the audience because, without a doubt, every cabaret show, as you know, one of the audience members always asked during our Q&A, mm-hmm. you know, who would you marry, who would you F, and who would you kill? So
I tell people first of all.
And I didn't get it. I didn't get it until after the 100th time that this should be the name of the next show.
It's a movement.
It's a movement. It's become
a thing. It is everywhere. I mean, Daniel can tell us more, maybe like outside of our like Countess and Friends world. You see it everywhere now. I mean, it's always been around.
Yeah.
But somehow something happened in the population in the last couple of years.
Well, I remember in college I did an art project where we had to design. It was a graphic design class. We had to design our own board game.
Yeah.
And I designed a game called MFK, Mary Fuck.
No. Oh, we need to look at that because maybe we'll steal
and
from
I
that.
And I had like a deck of cards and each card
we need
had
a new game
on it.
Show.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of games. The new show's going to be very interactive because the audience has been. I have to tell them, this is so funny what happened with the Q&A in Luann's show because when we started the show, we didn't have a Q&A.
Right.
And early on, our friend and mentor, the godfather of Countess and Friends, Richard J. Alexander, who's the mm-hmm. greatest cabaret director in history mm-hmm. and directs Barbara Streisand and Kristen Chenoweth's show on Broadway right now. And,
right, yeah.
And our mutual friend, Desmond Child. But Richard said, you should have her do a Q&A. They'll love it. And of course, Luann, as a Carol Burnett fan, was like, oh my God, that's so fun. And Richard must have given me an hour, you know how Richard can talk, and at least an hour of advice on how to handle mm-hmm. it and to protect Luann mm-hmm. from the audience so she can handle any question that comes her way. And I kept thinking, you know, Luann's really good. She's really good. No, but you got to be ready because they could do all kinds of shit. You don't know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And can I, every single, and you'll tell that I'm not making this up, every single one is a softball. The questions, if it's not Mary Fuck Kill, it's like, what's your secret to being so young and beautiful always? How are you the perfect mother? Like, there's not a question that's not just like your publicist could have written it.
No, there is one quick question, and it has to do with the fucking part. Who's the best lay?
Yes.
Who is the best lay of Tom, you know, Harry, and Jacques?
Yeah. Yeah.
So we have to do something with the show with Tom, Harry, and Jacques.
Yes, Tom, Jack, or Harry.
Yeah. Right. Tom, Dick, and Harry.
I was listening to that song, Kiss Me, Kate. Any Tom, Dick, or Harry? Any Tom, Harry, or Dick? I was like, if we could make it Jacques, it would really work.
Well, you know, I think it's a fun thing. I mean, Jacques could just be considered the Dick because he was the best lay.
Spoiler alert.
You didn't hear that.
Jacques, the French Jewish stand-up comedian.
Yes.
Former lover of Luann.
Yes.
Still a very good friend.
Well, lover, not even. He was a serious boyfriend for four and a half years. Yeah.
Oh, was it four and a half years?
4.5 years. We lived together. Noel was a teenager. He LTR. Helped me through, like, the most difficult time of one's life, which is the teenage children years.
Yeah.
And
well, you were newly divorced.
I was newly divorced. He was a rock for me in many ways.
Jacques, it even rhymes
now
with rock.
You've got this is material.
That might need to be a lyric in your new Mary Fuck Hill song.
That's
Jacques
what I'm saying. This is all material for
all material.
Show.
Well, good thing we're recording it.
I know. That's
lost.
What I'm saying. I love it.
So,
and of course, we can't forget about my super agent.
Yes, well, that. What's the story with that nowadays?
Well, Rich Super, who has made the cabaret tour so massive.
Massive.
With Live Nation.
I mean, the fact that we even call it a cabaret tour is kind of ridiculous. I mean, people, we started in New York. I think New Yorkers assumed that, like, we played 54 Below in New York, that we're playing those types of venues. But you're playing the Chicago Theater, the Warner Theater, the Wiltern, the Mirage, the Borgata. I mean, you know, don't even get me started on the
major
enormous
casinos and venues. I mean, at first I thought, oh, I can't do such a big room because I was so comfortable with 54 Below.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, it has to be like my living room because I feel like that's what the show is all about. You're really in my living room.
It's that intimacy.
And you're my guest. And
Daniel's seen it at 54 Below twice,
yes,
I think.
Yeah, I have twice. Yeah. I saw it in
so then, you know, we took it to the big stages and theaters, and I was surprised. Now I really am into playing the big venues.
Well, first of all,
and my living room has become enormous.
It's a huge living room. That's all.
Living room.
You
that's
have
it.
To be that much bigger of a hostess.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, so what? Did you ever see Madonna live, by the way?
I have never seen Madonna live.
Well, first of all, we have to fix that.
We have to
and
fix
I want
to
go with you, because that's
go.
A photo I want to be in.
Oh, my gosh. I would love to go. And she's coming to New York
I think
soon.
We just missed the Madam X engagement in New York. That's what our friends were complaining about, that their tickets got moved, and then they couldn't go to the following
right.
date. But that was like, she is doing the opposite thing you're doing. You were moving from the small, intimate venues to the big theaters.
Yeah.
Madonna, for the first time in decades, was doing this in a... in smaller, more intimate venues
after
playing in stadiums. It was a small space in Brooklyn.
Right.
But you understand why she would do
that. Small, though.
Well, relative to her
stadium. Yeah, relative to her, yeah.
You know, it's moving in that direction.
Right.
But I mean, I have to say, having worked with you now in these large theaters, I don't miss it at all. I would never go back. I don't care if I never see a cabaret again. That wall of love that you get when you walk out on the stage, it's so intense. I mean... I think people have to see the show to understand it because it's like, it's beyond what they would feel for a regular performer because rightly or wrongly, they know you, you know, maybe there's, you know, obviously the reality cameras, it's an edit. People don't, you know, it's not the same thing as being your friend, but certainly more than they are with the real Madonna or the real Liza Minnelli.
Mm-hmm.
They have such an investment in your life and your
Well, and they have access
journey.
To me, I think.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's important in terms of them identifying with me and rooting for me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really intimate in that way because, you know, I've put my life out there and they, you know, are there for me and, you know, and in the same way when they come to my show. And I think when they come to the show, they're, you know, not sure what to expect.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come away with like, oh, my God, that was great.
Totally.
You know,
yeah.
and they had such a good time. And it's a happy show. It's a fun show. It's a sexy show. So I think they're surprised.
That's the advantage of the expectation game also, I think, because over the years when the different women on The Real Housewives have needed like a storyline on the show... They or even if it wasn't for the storyline on the show, even if it was just to capitalize like you do on business of having the exposure, they would release a product or do a project and it would be featured on the show. And sometimes it would be sort of like a non-starter. You wouldn't hear about it again.
Right.
You know, and that's natural for the course of reality TV.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what we have so much as like, you know, money in our pocket doing your show is that no matter how many successes we have, people are going to come in a little bit thinking like, oh, this is like a housewife doing like a toaster launch, you know?
Right.
And then they see you thriving in this thing that actually is more your calling than being a reality star is a random thing that happened to you.
Right.
Cabaret singer is actually what you always dreamed
kind
of and did, you know?
Well, I think a lot of people don't know that I come from a variety show background, you know, working in Italian television.
The professional side, they don't know.
Like,
I mean,
no
I as
idea.
A fan didn't even know that stuff
right.
until... And I guess it was when I read your book, but even that was really when we were already starting to talk.
Yeah, and I just
stuff.
Skimmed over the top of it really in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Right, it's just a few sentences, something that was actually, what, like 2 years of your life, that you had a job that you went to every day.
Yeah.
That was reality.
Yeah. Yeah, and I ended up, you know, becoming a star of Italian television. And, you know, I've always loved the spotlight, you know, being a model and then moving into television in Italy. I was very lucky to land that job. And then, you know, I just felt there was something missing and came back to the States to pursue television again. And then The Housewives just came to me and it's been a great platform,
for
my music. And now, you know, for my cabaret.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of like the reality phenomenon? Because, I mean, you were really kind of at the beginning. I mean, there were reality shows in the several years leading up to Real Housewives.
But, yeah, there was really only...
You know, the Osbournes and the competition shows in the Real World. But
and for Bravo, it was...
Top Chef or America's Next Top Model, Project Runway.
No, the one with Carson Kressley.
Oh, Queer Eye, yeah. Sure.
Queer Eye.
But even that was like a very... you know, it wasn't about Carson's personal life or the other guy's personal... You know, they just went into the the people... It was like Queen for a Day or what's that show from the 50s, you know? Just the regular person. But Real Housewives was the beginning of, I think, the modern reality TV as we know it, you know? You know, people are always asking me if I'm on Ozempic, and let me tell you, I do not mind them asking me that. But I'm not on Ozempic. They especially ask me that when they see me eating dessert or desserts or all the crap I eat when I'm out. But my secret is that when I'm home, when I'm by myself, I'm eating Factor. Factor sends me restaurant-quality meals that are ready to heat and eat whenever I am. No prepping, no cooking, no cleanup except for, like, my fork. And now you can enjoy Factor meals, too. Go to factormeals.com/giantsinthesky50 and use code giantsinthesky50 to get 50% off. That's code giantsinthesky50 at factormeals.com/giantsinthesky50 to get 50% off.
The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
But, like, I mean, I think back as a Madonna fan, you know, I mean, that movie, Truth or Dare, was so, in a way, it was really the precursor to all of this. I mean, it feels so much like Madonna gave birth to this whole era of social media and reality TV because she did that, you know? I mean, and I'm sure she was very hands-on in the editing of that movie, as you would be, you know?
Right.
But, like, you know, just the scenes of her in her bathrobe in a hotel suite on tour, that is very familiar to me with you, what we're doing. You know? I mean, that's what we're doing. The business,
right? Maybe not of that caliber, but certainly of a major theater caliber.
Yeah, you know? For sure.
Not stadiums,
Not yet.
Well,
you've got your first, I mean...
BravoCon.
You did have the honor of collaborating with me on Feelin' Giovanni, but I don't quite have the track record of people you're going to collaborate with next, and, you know, your next songs could really take you there.
Well, you listen, you know, Desmond Child has written amazing music for so many people,
so many people.
I'm so excited that we're going to be working on a song together.
That's very cool. And, of course, he wrote Livin' La Vida Loca for Ricky Martin and so many songs for Gloria Estefan and his own stuff. And some weird, like, 80s rock songs. I'm forgetting which, but not even, like, Latin or anything like that. I mean, just so...
I think even Katy Perry, too.
Oh, yeah, of course, more recent stuff, for sure. Well, because he's a hit maker.
He's a hit maker.
Make
me a hit maker.
That sounds good.
I'm thinking, you know, I'm thinking it should be along the lines of Mary F. Kill because that's where my head's at right now.
Sure, yeah.
You know?
Well, like we said, I mean, it's the same thing we said about doing the show with that, is that, like, it's such a universal thing right now, and no one is really, like... I mean, a lot of people are tweeting funny. I told you that guy's tweet the other day, you know, and, like, people do Mary F. Kill memes, but no one has, like, cashed in on it yet, you know? And it's such a fun game to play. It deserves to...
My poster's already out there, people, okay? So nobody can steal Mary F.
No,
Kill.
No, trademark.
It's already on the road. I'm already getting booked in January and February and March and April. And I'm back in L.A., I think, in May.
Yes.
We're back in L.A. in May.
On the road again.
On the road again with a totally new show. So, and a new set, you know, working on a new set.
Oh, yeah, we had an exciting meeting about that last night. So you've got lots of stuff going on with... the cabaret, quote-unquote cabaret, really large concert tour, and you have a new song you're working on, and do you want to say anything about this book that I heard you're
Well, I mean, it's been a long time coming. I just felt like I had to get through that major trauma in my life of what happened in Florida, and to get to this point where I can actually put it behind me, and I feel like writing this book is going to help do that for me. You know, yeah. It's kind of therapy because a lot of people don't know what happened to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't know that, you know, the police officer that arrested me is in jail for making false arrests. and it's important. And I, you know, I think what happened to me could happen to a lot of people. And so I just want to tell my part of the story.
Yeah.
And, you know, from really from the beginning, you know, yeah. like mm-hmm. where I would have the gumption to go to a hotel that I got married in
yeah.
to celebrate, you know, the holidays mm-hmm. In the first place, and why I would do that, and why one thing led to the next. And if one thing had gone differently that night, it would have never
yeah.
happened to me,
yeah.
but it was just meant to be. And it was like this cosmic universe
yeah.
thing that just had to happen to me.
Yeah.
And it was really a wake up call, and it was really something that I've learned so much from about myself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, so the book is really about that journey, about, you know, from the very beginning and how I ended up where I did, and how, you know, when I was knocked down to my knees, and, you know, alone in rehab on New Year's
mm-hmm,
Eve,
mm-hmm.
I said, you know, I'm more scared of not doing this cabaret show than I am mm-hmm. of doing it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I, you know, I just had to do it.
Yeah.
It was, you know, against all odds. Everybody's like, oh no, it's too much pressure on yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you're just getting out of rehab. You know, this is, I went on the cabaret stage, I think in March.
February.
Yeah. Okay, even worse. I got out of rehab in February, the end of January.
Yeah.
I went on stage in February
yeah.
and filmed for The Real Housewives
yes.
on top of it. So not only was I on the cabaret stage,
yeah.
but with television cameras watching me. So
yeah.
it was a lot of pressure. But like I said, you know, I feel like if I hadn't done it,
yeah.
I couldn't live with that.
Right.
You know?
I mean, are you someone, we talk about this all the time, like the Joan Rivers documentary where she always says, like, my biggest fear is not being busy. Like, are you someone like that who
yes.
thrives on
yes.
a full schedule and
yes.
that kind of helps clear your head and keep you in the
I'm
zone?
A busybody. I'm in Madison, Wisconsin this weekend.
And Minneapolis.
And Minneapolis.
Where I went to rehab, that, by the way.
Where you went to rehab. I love it. I'm going to be in your rehab town. And then I'm back in New York for BravoCon.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
And then I'm going to LA to do The Doctors and Extra and all these entertainment shows to promote the cabaret show, obviously.
Cramming them in quickly before Thanksgiving.
Quickly before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Then I have Thanksgiving and I have a little bit of a break.
No. Thanksgiving's a Thursday. We have a show on Saturday starting our Christmas tour.
The November 30th
yeah.
show in at the
yeah, Thanksgiving's
at
the 28th.
Wellmont. That's at the Wellmont
yeah.
in New Jersey. So, but
you don't have much of a break in between.
No, but I have also, then we're going on a Housewives trip.
Right after that.
Oh.
First
right
week of
after that.
Yeah.
First week of December.
Where's
so,
that trip to?
I can't tell you.
Oh, yeah, it's
otherwise, I'd have to kill you.
Well, we can say this much. It's going to be a really
I'd
fancy...
I'd have to marry F or kill you.
it's going to be a really fancy house somewhere, and you're going to be locked up with each other
exactly.
in it.
Exactly.
Biting each other's
Don't worry,
heads
it's going
to
be fabulous. Wherever we're going is going to be fabulous, but, you know, it's top secret.
Yeah, yeah, I love it.
Well, can we ask you about something from The Housewives that I believe is not top secret? And if it is, you can tell us... Shut up. But that Tinsley is gone from the show now.
Oh,
like
we can't talk
ago.
About that.
But I mean, that's all over the news, right?
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, I asked you after reading about it online.
Well, I saw her name for BravoCon, so I think she's coming to BravoCon.
So she's still in the Bravo family,
She's
at
still
least.
In the Bravo family.
At
I,
least.
Wow. I believe so. That's
well,
I have a new housewife, though.
Oh, yes. And that's
so,
not announced
And
yet.
It's going to be announced I,
oh, very
at BravoCon.
Very exciting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
When is BravoCon the date?
The 15th through the 17th of November.
I would try to promote Luann's show there, but it's been sold out for the month.
Oh, forget it.
It's sold
you
out.
Can't
out
get,
in
it,
minutes. Literally in minutes.
A minute.
Yeah.
A minute.
Yeah.
It's sold out.
So what do you have planned for that? Will you have, like, I assume it's a booth.
Well, there's
like,
panels
yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
there's, you know, doing Watch What Happens Live.
Like they
show.
All do. But Luann is the closing
I'm
event
the
of
closing
the whole
event
convention.
Of Bravo.
Wow.
It's a very special edition
on
of
Sunday.
Countess and Friends.
Oh,
yeah. Hammerstein Ballroom.
Yeah. The theater
center.
Looks gorgeous
oh,
with
wonderful.
Fabulous red curtains.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm coming out with a new song. I mean, the, you starting off the show with a new song and new stories on the diary.
Oh, yes.
And the Q&A is always fun, and this one's going to be huge.
Oh, it's
because
gonna be, I need security.
You're going to need security, Ben. You're going to need help.
I'm going to need a lot of protection.
I think you're going to need protection. You should come.
Yeah, yes. I would love to.
Although I can't get him in. Don't invite him.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you know, you can't get anybody into BravoCon. Yeah. I had a girlfriend call me up and go, oh, I want to come with you, and I'll help you. I was like, I can't.
Unfortunately, no.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
That's so good. No,
they have to. They have to disguise themselves as a mannequin and a Giovanni. If
I'm going to have all my Giovanni and all my, you know, Countess and Friends merch. And
yes.
Evan, you know, wants to run the merch booth, so I'm like,
oh,
cool.
He's chomping at the bit for
I
that.
Well,
now
I'm
like, that's
the only way to get in.
Show. I know, right?
It's the only way to get in. He's like, I'll do the merch booth. You know.
Now, speaking of merch, don't you have some like special treats for us?
Special treats.
Yeah, like of the edible merch variety. I was told we were going to have an on-air...
are we bringing edibles? Oh, my God. I didn't.
Edibles. I don't know about that.
I was going to say...
We're not in L.A. Oh,
I know I've
go.
Got jewelry.
Yeah,
I
won't eat... It's not a candy necklace.
Oh, we got to talk about the jewelry, by the way. Oh, edible. Oh, this. I forgot. Should I take a bite out?
Yeah, I mean, this is a visual
I
have to describe.
I think I should take a bite right now.
Miranda has a cookie with her face on it that is so amazing.
Oh, my God. And this was given to me by Dorinda at a tea party.
Oh, did she get them for everybody?
Uh-huh.
It's beautiful.
Wait, I want to see it.
Oh, no, I think the new housewife brought these.
Oh, lovely.
Mm.
It looks
taking a bite out of myself.
It looks a lot like the U on my jacket.
Yeah, it does.
I'm good.
Yay. Amazing.
And we have a Giovanni jacket over there. Look at this.
Oh, there's another one?
There's another one. You want to see it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
ooh.
Beautiful.
Look at the Giovanni
glittery.
Jacket. Isn't that fun? By the way, Giovanni still has Giovanni jackets.
Oh, right. And this is for a charity.
Oh, they're my website, right?
Don't these support some
they support women who have been incarcerated. So every jacket you buy supports women who have been incarcerated.
Oh, that's fab.
I don't get it, see a penny from it, and they're gorgeous, really fun.
Yeah, it's like a silver glitter bomber jacket. It looks gorgeous.
I've got one in the closet. I'll show you.
Oh, lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's see. Is there anything else we want to ask about Luann's Madonna obsession? Or what were the other artists that were inspiring to you besides Madonna?
Stevie Nicks.
Yes.
Rumors.
Yeah. Rumors. What was your favorite song on Rumors?
What's one? Now here you go again, you say.
Mm.
You
oh,
want your freedom.
Yeah.
Now who am I to keep you down?
And what about, like, I mean, I know you sang with Natalie Cole, but I know you were a huge
fan of
Natalie Cole. I always think of Natalie Cole.
I think,
Cole,
you know what, for Mary F. Kill, we should put L-O-V-E back in the show.
L is for the way you look at me. O is for the only one I see. V is very, very extraordinary.
I
love that song.
It's because he sang it with Natalie Cole.
I sang it with Natalie Cole and Billy Stritch also.
What was that like?
You sing with Billy Stritch all the time.
I know. No, but the first time I met Billy was performing at Town Hall.
Yes, well, that was Jim Caruso at Town Hall, and you had Liza Minnelli,
Cheetah Rivera, Lucy Arnaz, and Luann de Lesseps.
And I think Marilyn May was in that, too.
Was in that, too.
Love that.
All the
no
greats.
Pressure.
Yeah,
I was
no
like,
pressure. But what did Liza say to you after you did your number?
Oh, when I came off the stage, Liza Minnelli said to me, Well done, honey. Well done, honey. Good job, honey. No, she's like, good job, honey. Cigarette like that with her cigarette and her drink in her hand. Good job, honey.
Right in front of the nose.
Oh, my God. We were smoking cigarettes out in the alley before she went in to do New York, New York.
Ooh, I love it. Well, that's her warm up.
That has got to be a rite of passage for a cabaret star to smoke a cigarette in the alley with Liza Minnelli.
Oh, my God. And then she invited me to her birthday party. I went to Liza's birthday.
Where was that?
At her apartment in New York.
Oh, you lived my dream. I didn't know that.
Liza's birthday party.
With the Warhols
and
everything.
Oh, my God, it was amazing. And then one person after the other was just getting up and singing, and she sang
fabulous.
Too.
What? Who sang? Who was there?
Liza.
Well, Billy,
Jim,
I'm sure, was playing.
Billy.
Michael Feinstein.
Michael Feinstein. Mm-hmm. It was just an amazing.
Oh, my God.
It's
my fantasy.
Yeah.
Love that. Well, maybe that'll make its way into a story in the show now that I've got that under my...
It was incredible. It was incredible.
Well, you're incredible. This is so fabulous.
Thank
to
you,
be
Ben.
In
I'm
your
so
beautiful
happy.
Beautiful apartment.
Thank
your
you. I'm loving
center.
My new apartment.
I'm so happy to be here.
And Victoria's art above your head.
Yes, oh, Victoria gorgeous. Does that. Mm-hmm. That's really dark.
Wow.
I love her.
And Noelle. Look at Noelle's work is over here. That's a painting from Noelle.
Oh, really?
I haven't hung it up yet, but that's Noelle's work.
Yes. We'll encourage everybody to follow the whole family.
Right. Yeah.
We love you.
And speaking of Mary Fuck Kill, we have our
own. Oh yes,
version.
I forgot the game. How could I forget the game?
We have our own.
We have our own game.
Pod.
It's called Dolly Concert Kill.
Okay.
So we're going to give you three performers. Thank you. I remember that. And you choose one you want to see star in Hello Dolly on Broadway.
Okay.
One you want to see in a concert, and one that you.
Okay.
So we have to give her Madonna,
Stevie Nicks, and Natalie Cole.
Madonna I have to see in concert.
Madonna in concert. Mm-hmm. We've already established
that. We just
that
already
on your
said that,
list.
Right?
So then you have, what did we say? Natalie
Stevie
Cole
Nicks.
And Stevie Nicks. One
for
kill.
What?
One for Hello Dolly, one to kill.
Well, Natalie's gone, so we'll have to
do
Stevie
that's
Nicks.
A safe one. She got away easy on this one. Good job.
I love Natalie.
Stevie Nicks is Dolly.
Stevie Nicks is Dolly would be trippy.
That would be trippy.
Can
Stevie Nicks is Dolly could totally see.
Oh my God. It would all be just black lace coming down that staircase.
Black lace everywhere.
Dress,
yeah.
Just black.
All right. You're going to have to draw a picture of that. I can see that.
Fabulous.
All right.
Thank you, Luann.
Thank you, guys.
Yay.
Thanks for listening to Ben Rimmelauer's Broken Records on Broadway World. For more episodes, visit Broadway World, iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever podcasts do be.
Come back next week for legendary columnist Michael Musto coming in to chat about Diana Ross and the Supremes' sing and perform Funny Girl.
Other upcoming guests include cabaret goddess Natalie Douglas, Tony Award-winning lyricist and director Scott Whitman, and Tony-winning star Laura Benanti.
This episode was edited by me, Daniel Nolan.
Thanks to Emmy-winning composer and lyricist Lance Horn for the Broken Records theme song.
Follow us both, Ben Rimmelauer and Daniel Nolan, on all y'all's socials.
That's Ben Rimmelauer, BenRimmelauer.
And that's Nolan with an E, not Nolan with an A.
Because Nolan with an A is my ass.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.